Oh, someone's power washing something outside.
Someone's doing something outside, yeah. Kathleen. Hold on.
Listen, we can't control nature.
I know, but like, really?
I mean, you sort of can if you believe in global warming, but beyond that.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Bethany, I hear you have some breaking news.
I do?
Yes, about the Kardashians.
Oh, I was so nervous. Apparently, as of this morning, what's his name? Kanye West unfollowed all of the Kardashians. And this is a loosey-goosey bonus episode. Are we a Kardashian-following podcast? Absolutely not.
No, hell no.
Do we care? Absolutely not. But this I found interesting, just because I like drama.
I like a little tea. So, yes, welcome to an Acquired Taste podcast, loosey-goosey bonus. Kanye West, turns out, not such a good husband.
No, I mean, from what we've heard, Kathleen, probably not a great husband, or at least a difficult relationship, because it sounds like they both have some issues. His more volatile and public than maybe hers.
What would you do if Dennis was like, I love you, I want to stay with you, but I'm permanently going to move to another state and never see you?
You know what? I would probably be like, this sounds like a marriage I can get behind.
Well, I don't want to say to Kim Kardashian, told you so, but hun, told you so.
This is the thing that like you cannot say to a friend who is getting a divorce
or who is
getting broken up, who's breaking up.
I mean, you can say it to them a couple weeks later, but
no, I say you still cannot, because they're going to get back together at some point. Yeah, they are. And you're going to be the friend that they no longer talk to, or they're going to be mad at you for like, why didn't you say something?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me 4 years ago that you knew that he was a douche?
Yeah. It's like when you're fighting with your significant other and you literally have nobody to talk to. And sometimes it feels really isolating because you can't tell your friends and family because they're going to just hate your significant other when when you're good again.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that's like another reason why I'm pro therapy, is because your therapist is never going to hold it against you because they're never going to run into your significant other anyway. But yeah, you can't.
Speaking of divorce, I had a divorce coach reach out to me regarding being a guest on this podcast.
I guess I can figure out what a divorce coach is. Why did they think that we need, I mean, I'm curious.
So I have a friend who just got divorced. Her husband was a real piece of shit, but not one of those relationships where I'm saying, I told you so. I thought he was lovely, but turns out lovely people on the outside are real monsters on the inside.
So she was doing what we're saying to do, which is not complain about your spouse to your friends or family.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And then turns out, yeah, he was a monster. But anyway, I was like, Bethany and I are not getting divorced, so why are we going to have a divorce coach on? And this person is probably an expert in breaking up and moving on, in loss, in like getting to the next level in your life when you're stuck. Mm-hmm. And I think we could all benefit from that.
Definitely. I also wonder if they, having seen divorces from like a very close lens, they've arguably seen more divorces than any actual person. Mm-hmm. Because when you get a divorce, you're only going through your divorce, but she's seen gajillions of divorces.
Yeah.
So she can probably say like what not to do in a relationship, maybe to prevent yourself from getting a divorce or breaking up.
Yeah.
And maybe the biggest things people like spar over, I would imagine, is probably money, kids, and pets.
You know your spouse is really shitty when they don't want the pets. I guess also when they don't want the kids too, but the pets.
I know. Yeah, that's tough. I remember my last relationship, I was so relieved when my ex didn't fight me over me wanting to take our cat.
Yeah.
That was a very gracious thing for him to do. So I'm grateful for that.
But he did it out of the kindness of his heart. Like sometimes there are people that are like, fuck it, I don't want anything to do with you, and fuck our animals that we got together.
Yeah. Which is like, okay, great. I'm going to take everything. I'm taking all the pets. I'm taking the menagerie with me.
Is your dark lipstick today a reflection of your creative mood or emotional mood?
Creative mood.
Okay, good.
I feel like I'm more myself when I'm wearing really dark lipstick. This is black lip liner
Yeah.
with like a dark purple lipstick.
It looks great.
Thanks. I just feel more like centered and in my body. Like when I'm wearing black, I just feel more pulled together and protected and like sleek and like I'm in control.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I know I was trying to wear color and I still am attempting, but like I don't understand how people can wear color. I feel so out of control and manic. My home is very colorful.
Yeah.
It's wearing it on my body. Don't you feel like you don't know where your body stops and starts when you're wearing color? Like you're just blending into everything because there's, it's just like, where does your body stop and start?
You know what, Bethany? Right now for me, the shape of my body, if you don't know where it stops and starts, that's a good thing for me. I'm okay with that.
You're wearing your sister wife dress today, as you called it.
Yeah, like a stylish sister wife. Like I'm doing my, what is it called when you do a photo shoot for a TV show? It's like your, you know.
Your promo photos?
Yeah, I'm doing, if I were going to do promo photos for sister wives that are like, that live in New York City, this is what.
It's like, I think we talked about it on a previous episode. It's like a long, it's down to your ankles, no? Yeah.
Yes, I'll post a link to it. I got a Target. I'll post a link to it in our show notes. But it's like this long, layered prairie dress that has huge sleeves and it's mid-tone pink with salmon huge polka dots.
Speaking of previous episodes,
yeah.
Can we do the official DCI Dyson check-in?
Oh, okay.
You got your Dyson vacuum cleaner, the laser one.
Yeah.
That shows you how much crap is on your floor.
Yes.
How is the Dyson going, Kathleen? Is it worth $700?
Bethany. At first I was like, before I got the vacuum, I was like, oh God, Kathleen, you're such a fuck up. Like,
oh Kathleen.
Like, Kathleen, you said you weren't going to be spending money on anything. And here you go again with your gadgets and your and your accoutrements.
Honey, you need to be nicer to yourself.
Yeah. So I am here to tell you that everybody should start a savings account for a Dyson.
Okay, so you love it.
I am obsessed with it. A few days before my Dyson came, I vacuumed my living room rug with my regular vacuum, okay?
Can you – what brand was your regular vacuum? Not that it matters, but
it matters. Like a shop vac.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was like a wet dry vac.
It was like a wet dry vac because it's good for crafting and for homekeeping, but it's very loud, and that was one of my main complaints about it. And I spent, I don't know, maybe $60, $40 on it. Anyway, I get the Dyson. I'm like, oh, all right, let me vacuum this rug to see, like, you know, just to try it out.
Yeah.
The rug looked totally clean, Bethany. Let me tell you, I put the Dyson on the highest setting, and in just 2 or 3 minutes, my canister was full of rug sediment and cat hair and just absolute stuff that I had no idea was in my rug. I was horrified and delighted at the same time.
So you texted me a picture of what the Dyson picked up after you had already vacuumed with the regular.
Yeah.
And I was out on my morning old lady walk and I literally stopped walking, like stopped in my tracks, pulled up the photos you sent, and immediately had like an internal meltdown of, oh no, do I need to get a Dyson? It was like, it was like the gif of the woman with all the math equations flying past her head. I was like, I have two cats and also keep the windows open. And so there's all these particles coming in and I've had these rugs for years and like, there's so much dust. And, you know, if you turn a light on and you see the dust particles flying through, like that's just nonstop. And do I need a Dyson? And that's $700. Meltdown.
Yes. I think you do need one. I think everybody needs one because it's whisper quiet and so powerful. My rug looked like the day that I bought it. And I got home late last night and the cats had made a mess with their litter box. And I turned on the vacuum and I wasn't afraid that I was going to wake up my neighbors because it's so quiet. And it's a lovely thing to be able to clean in an apartment building at 11:30 at night.
And by the way, not sponsored by Dyson.
No.
Non-spawn. Wish they would spawn. I also don't trust it because you don't plug it in. You don't, it's not corded.
You charge it. You charge it, Bethany.
I just don't
trust
it. That's
the beauty of being able to walk anywhere in your house. You're not tethered by a cord. You can literally do everything. It's like, you know, like when cordless phones were invented, everyone would just go walk around the house while they were talking just because they could.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I know. It's very expensive. But my initial take is that it's worth every freaking penny.
Will you keep us updated on how
I will.
The suction lasts over time? Because I think I'm concerned it's going to lose its ability to suck because it's not, I don't know.
Don't we all as we get older?
I don't know why it's just worries me because it's not plugged in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I worry where how's it going to be so powerful? Not plugged in.
It's battery power, Bethany. Your phone isn't plugged in all the time.
I know, but my phone isn't in charge of pulling things into itself that have been ground into my carpet.
Rug sediment. It looked like I vacuumed up the bottom of a river. I don't know where it came from.
Do you think it'll work on my shag carpeting or do you think it's
100%?
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That shag carpeting. I whittled something over my shag carpeting without really thinking like 6 months ago, and I am still stepping on tiny pieces of wood that I've not been able to get out of my carpet.
Get yourself a coupon. Listen, I have like 10,000 Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. Get yourself a coupon. Order yourself a Dyson. Just think about it in this way. You get airline miles out of it, right?
Oh, that's true. Oh, that's true. I get airline miles out of it. Does a 20% off coupon work on that?
I think I used my coupon on it. Yeah.
It had better.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, come on.
did you see that this woman on TikTok opened up her purse after a night out at the bar and found a tracker inside of her purse? Yeah.
No. What?
It was a tile tracker. So like the person probably couldn't have followed her home. The tile trackers don't go that far, but he knew where she was, or I'm assuming it's a guy. It could have been a woman. That human who dropped the tracker into her purse could probably follow her around the bar.
Oh my God.
I know.
Where was this? Do you know?
No, I just saw it on TikTok. As if women didn't already have enough to worry about. We already have to take our drinks into the bathroom with us and expose our bay breezes to poo particles. Like, come on.
Yeah. Man. That's so frustrating. I keep seeing ads in my Instagram come up for this bracelet. I don't know exactly how it works, but like you tap it and it immediately calls like either your friends or police. And it like alerts your friends to your location and stuff. So if you're being followed or, you know, taken everything is awful, you can like tap your bracelet.
Is that the millennial version of help, I've fallen and I can't get up?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's the woman version of like, hey, can you please stop assaulting and raping us? We'll have to, now we have to buy new jewelry to protect ourselves from you. Please stop.
Do you get job suggestions in your email from websites like Glassdoor?
I get them from LinkedIn.
Yes.
Sometimes. Yeah. Have you been, mine are mostly just for like, this person needs a voiceover artist, but they're not going to pay you.
So I've been getting the wildest suggestions, things that I'm not even qualified for. Like, do you want to be a manager of a warehouse? What?
What?
Like,
you're not qualified. You can't drive a forklift.
No, I can't even manage the mess in my own house. You want me to manage a whole warehouse? Get out of here.
I have the same problem with Actors Access, which is like where you can, you know, find postings for auditions and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to send you emails that are roles for based on what you are and like what you've said you are. And I think I posted this maybe a year ago. I got a role. It was like auditioning for a baby. And it was based on your profile, this might match you. And it was literally for an infant. And I'm like, what? This sucks. Not only are you sending me like non-union jobs that I can't legally do, you're also sending me auditions for literal infants.
Can you imagine a little, you show up to the audition, you're like, yes, but look how small I can make my face look when I put my
Wham. None of my teeth are in yet, but everything's awful. Wham. My niece went on her dad's phone a couple nights ago and texted me. She was like, hey, BB, my face got bitten by a spider. And now it's like a big, gross thing. Want to see it? And then she sent me a picture of like this big, you know, gross thing where the spider had bitten her.
Amazing.
And I texted back. Yeah, it was so cool. And I texted back, ew, that's so gross. Do you think there's spider eggs inside it? And I got no response.
Oh, you need to send her a link to that story about the woman who ate at Taco Bell with the spiders and laid eggs in her cheeks and then spiders were born.
Oh, God. I don't know if I remember that.
I think that was an urban legend when I was a kid.
So there are some urban legends that are amazing that spread from generation to generation. Did you hear, Kathleen, growing up about any of your favorite pop stars who had to have their stomach pumped because it was full of semen?
No. Oh, no. Who was that?
No one. But I had heard that it was a boy band member. And then I had heard someone like a generation earlier than me told me they had heard it about Rod Stewart.
Oh, God.
So I'm wondering if that had carried on to you.
I know.
Did you hear do you know the Richard Gere one, right?
No. What's the Richard Gere one?
There's an urban legend that Richard Gere was caught with like a hamster in his anus.
Yes, I did hear that one.
Okay, so that one got to you. What are the other ones we heard?
Apparently there's an urban legend in Alabama that there's a playground for dead children.
Ooh.
Whoa, cool. But you know what? Here's the thing. Why do haunted places always have to be old? You know?
That's a great question. Kind of creepier if they're not.
How do new places get haunted? And I'm sure new places are haunted. And why aren't more people talking about that?
I think that, you know what? I think you make a really good point, because if it's a newer place, probably a little bit more structurally sound, or at least earlier in its like life cycle, so fewer creaks that you can pass off as house creaks, right?
So
your apartment is fairly refurbished, I would say, right?
I think this building was built in 2002, so 20 Great. Years old. Mm-hmm.
So if you're like laying in bed and you suddenly hear like a goosh, 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 you wouldn't think like, oh, it's just the heater turning on in the basement.
No, you're right.
Right?
I saw this thing someone wrote on Twitter that's like, what if you're being haunted by somebody who died in 2007 and all they ever say to you is, it's Britney, bitch. Yeah, like what if, I don't know, like what if you're being haunted by somebody who died in, I don't know, 1999 and all they say to you is, what up?
Or like what if you're being haunted by an introvert?
That's true.
And they just aren't talking to you at all.
That is...
Like you, gentle listener, mm-hmm. wherever you are right now, mm-hmm. I want you to sort of like glance around yourself. Mm-hmm. And now imagine that there is an old, just old, haggard old woman dressed all in black. Her skin is sort of falling off. Mm. Her eye sockets are empty. Her eyes are unseeing. But she's just looking at you right now. But she's a little introverted, so she's not going to want to talk to you or anything. She's just there the time watching you.
You know what? That's,
you never know.
It's kind of comforting, I think.
I mean, it's just nice to know someone's around.
Yeah.
Kathleen, do you remember sex ed?
Sure do.
Yeah. I copied all of my answers off of Zach's paper when it came to the men's reproductive health. I didn't know where the vas deferens were located, so I just copied off of Zach VDH's page, and now he helped me. Sex ed taught us how not to get pregnant. But when it comes to trying to get pregnant or planning for pregnancy, do you have as much information?
Bethany, no. I still don't have a baby. But that is because I'm on birth control, obviously.
Right.
But in the future, I'm going to be planning to have children. How do you even go about it?
What is babies?
What is babies?
You know what? That's why Modern Fertility was created. Modern Fertility is the easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. Then you mail it in with a prepaid label. You get your personalized results within 10 days. This is so much less expensive than doing it with your doctor.
When you do it at your doctor, it can cost over $1,000. But Modern Fertility only costs $159 to get the same information that you're going to get at your doctor.
And if you're someone like me who does not want children, this is still good information for you to have. You get insight into your hormone levels, how many eggs you have, other important fertility factors, and the results go deeper than that because you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and get you options for your next steps.
If you want kids today or maybe one day in the future, like me, you need information to make decisions that's best for you.
So right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/taste.
That means your test will only cost $139 instead of hundreds or thousands that it could cost at your doctor's office.
By the way, you can use your HSA or FSA on Modern Fertility as well.
Ooh.
So get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/taste. That's modernfertility.com/taste. Kathleen, do you have any, we're recording this on a Friday. Do you have any big plans for the weekend?
Oh, yes. Bethany. Okay. I have to think about how I'm going to phrase it so I don't hurt anybody's feelings.
Oh my God. Please phrase it the first way that comes to your head.
Okay. My cousin is dating this guy.
Do we like him?
I've never met him.
Okay.
And apparently some people in my family know him from a pretty long time ago. And he's got a nickname.
Okay.
I cannot tell you the real nickname.
Can you tell me what it rhymes with?
I'll tell you off mic. I cannot tell you the real nickname. But let's just say that his name is Greg and people call him Groggy Greg because he always looks like he's just woken up.
Okay. Can you tell me right now? We'll bleep it and then I'll try to describe what the nickname is.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So let's say if his name is Giannis.
Yes.
His nickname would be... You don't want to leave him alone with your lady friends, Giannis.
Giannis. But I think that it's softer than that. So if his name were Quinn, maybe it would be like questionable Quinn.
Okay.
Like,
or if his name was like Ron, it'd be like, rubs me the wrong way, Ron.
But still really nice, Ron.
But nice.
Nice.
Like there, if his name was Ted, it'd be like, there's something a little off about Ted.
But he's a gentle soul.
But he's a gentle soul. Okay.
Anyway, it's an alliteration as gentle listeners, as you can tell. So do you think I have an obligation to tell my cousin the nickname that some of the people in our family gave this guy years ago?
Oh, so she doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
How long have they been dating?
About a year and a half.
Wow. Okay. And is it going well?
Yes. They're an official couple. Apparently, he's very sweet to her and she deserves this. It's just the nickname. When I told Neil, I was like, hey, Neil, you might know this guy that so-and-so is dating. His name is Greg. Neil automatically was like, oh, Groggy Greg.
Okay. Here's the next question. This is so interesting. Mm-hmm. Are the friends still in contact with Greg, the original friends who, like, gave him the nickname?
No, but they will be now because now our cousin is dating him.
Okay. Because I'm curious if they think that he still lives up to that nickname or if he's maybe matured a little bit and is less off-putting.
I think that they were calling him... I mean, this is in our 20s, so I think people were a little bit less sensitive back then. I think they were calling him because he was a close talker.
Oh, so it wasn't like he brushed people's lower backs?
No.
Or...
he didn't touch people inappropriately. It's just that he was a close talker.
Oh, no. You definitely should not tell her that.
Okay.
I think that it's so long ago.
Yeah.
It's not behavior that's going to hurt her.
Yeah.
Or it's not like if she started dating someone and everyone in your friend group knew that he was like rumored to have assaulted someone, right? Like it's not like it's that.
It's not
that
like
maybe she would need to know. This is just like people think he's kind of weird.
Yes.
Who's not a little weird?
Weird Walton is.
Yeah. What does Neil say about it?
Oh, I said, Neil, why do people call him that? And he's like, I don't know. It's just what everybody called him.
That's awful. Can you imagine, Kathleen?
I know.
Can you imagine if everyone had a nickname about you and you didn't know it?
Oh, God.
What do you think people would give you a nickname about?
Oh, God. I don't know. Quirky Kathleen. No, that's like not that insulting. I don't know. What about you? It has to be an alliteration.
Oh, no question. People will call me Bitchy Bethany. Because... and here's why.
Okay.
Here's why. A, I have bitchy resting face. So I always look angry even when I'm not. And second, it was recently brought to my attention in a fairly frank conversation with someone whose name rhymes with Rendis.
Okay.
That.
So Dennis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that sometimes when I talk to people, I think I'm being either straightforward or a little sarcastic, but it comes across as just straight up anger.
Okay.
And so so I may think that I'm coming across like this and people are getting it in a very angry way. And I have no idea I'm coming across like that. So I'm sure people think I'm just a raging, awful person when I think everything's sunshine and rainbows.
You know what, Bethany? I've never gotten that from you, but I've also known you I've known you longer than your boyfriend's known you. I don't know.
Cause I straight up had I gave you an apology cause he said, he was like, and I see you talk to Kathleen this way too. And I was like, oh no, like how am I coming across to people? Do I need to write notes to everyone? And I'm sorry that I just seem real stern all the time.
Sometimes when I'm listening to my husband's Zoom calls, I'm like, oh my God, the way he talks to people. Too stern. Too stern. He's going to get fired. We're going to be on the street. We're going to live in a box. And then I realize I'm not hearing the other side of the conversation at all, and I'm just 100% making up judgments.
It's so helpful to have someone look at just the way you are and sometimes help a little bit. I've done the same with Dennis, where he'll send me screenshots of conversations that he's just like, I don't know what happened. How did this get out of control? And I can look at them and say, here's how you came across in this. Like, do you see how you'd never use an exclamation point? Or any emojis and just periods, you seem angry. And he's like, oh my God, I have no idea.
Let me tell you, when someone tells you something about yourself like that, you never forget. It's always on the top of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago, when I was working for a bridesmaid's dress company, they needed someone to put on a dress because they just needed to see it on a body.
Oh, I bet it was uplifting and supportive.
And the designer tells me, oh, you're short-waisted. I had never even heard of that term before. And now all I can think about when I try on clothes is how I have a short torso.
Oh, no.
You can never forget when someone says something like that.
No. And it's good information to have because we don't know how we come across to people. We really, really don't. Like, I'm doing this, it's this like seminar right now on like branding yourself as an actress. And a lot of it is like, you know, especially when you're first getting into the industry and like, you and people don't know you, you sort of have to brand yourself one way, even though you can play a gajillion different roles, especially if you're not like an ingenue actress, but you're a, like a, more of a character actress.
Yes.
And one of the ways they say to do that is, how do strangers see you? What feedback have you gotten from strangers about how you come across? And I am probably doing a whole rebrand of myself in the next few months, because I am told more often that I'm intimidating or I seem scary when people don't know me, but they just see me than I do as like a happy, fun person. So I'm going to be rebranding more like lawyer, police officer, like, you know, that kind of character, more like a Robin Wright sort of character than like an Emma Stone, because that's not how people see me. Which is fascinating to learn.
You know, at our old job, I think when I first started, I dressed a certain way because I came from a job where you always had to look like really preppy and like pearls and flats and dresses and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that that may have backfired on me over the years, because a lot of my coworkers got this impression of me as being like really prissy. When in fact, like, if you actually get to know me, you know that I'm a hot mess express and I'm just trying to get by every single day. And it's really interesting how people perceive you versus how you really are.
Yeah, it's really true. And people don't know your motivations for things either.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say you're in a high stress environment and you're someone who is extremely introverted. You, and by you, I mean me, will have a need to go in every once in a while, like go into yourself, kind of shut out the noise and focus for a second so you can kind of pull, not feel overwhelmed and like kind of be able to get your energy back.
Yeah.
But to everyone else, it seems like you're ignoring them, like you're not interested in what they're talking about, like you're not a nice person. And you only know what's going on inside your head. You don't realize how you're coming across. And it's really a shame when people get ideas, because I, like when I met you, I was like, oh, she's classier than I am.
Oh no!
But then I like got to know you and I'm like, oh, she's also really funny and filthy. And you know, I think that's, it's just like learning in practice that you really do have to get to know people. Even us saying at the top of the episode that like, you know, Kanye West was clearly an issue.
Yeah.
We don't know him. Yeah. I've never met him.
And we're yes, exactly. And we're just reflecting our perception of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know what, this is like a crazy interesting topic. How to make 10 steps on how to aid people in perceiving you as a funny, approachable person.
Yeah. Or if you don't want people to approach you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, especially women, and people who present as women, know how to put up sort of this energetic wall to make people stay away. I get a face If like yes. I can tell someone's about to come up and talk to me and I'm not interested, mm-hmm. I get a face. And I have actually seen people turn away from me and like change their course because it's like this wall goes up and my
they
face
know.
Gets real mean.
You know that that's your face and your face is saying, do not fuck with
come
me.
Come over here. I'm not interested. I'm a taken lady.
Do not fuck with me because I will fuck you up.
So Kathleen, if you were going to brand yourself, let's say you had to present yourself to the world.
Yeah.
Now, as 2021 Kathleen.
Yeah.
How would you brand yourself? Who do you want the world to know that you are?
A lot of jeans, a lot of cool sneakers, a lot of blazers, and then somebody who enjoys like a good matcha latte. Like just approachable. I would say hello to everybody. You know, at our old job, Bethany, we used to have this receptionist at the front who every time you walked in the door, she was like, hey, baby. You know, like, oh, hey, huh?
She
how
was
you doing?
Wonderful. She's so great.
I would try to embody that. Just say hello to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, good morning. Hey, Ted, how are you? Susan, what's in that cup?
You a drunk, Susan.
Want to share, Susan? Because I know you got a little Bailey's in that coffee.
Because that's the person I know you to be.
Well, thank you.
You're very friendly. You're very bubbly. You're very, very sweet.
Thank you.
And, you know, sometimes it gets hidden underneath more pressing matters.
You know, Bethany, and good luck on your rebrand. I can't wait to see you on, I don't know, Law and Order Greenwich Village or something like that.
You know, I had to write down my one-year goals, mm-hmm. and my number one-year goal is to be on Law & Order SVU. It's been like a career goal my whole life, and I'm like,
yes.
Like starting from scratch, starting over with everything, and so that's my new one-year goal, so we shall see.
Bethany, I hope you become a new, like the cop, like the rookie cop.
I want to like arrest someone, read them their rights.
Yes.
Get like, just like push them onto a car and be like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna put these handcuffs on you.
Yep.
They may be zip ties, but they're still mm-hmm. handcuffs. And boy, you better watch it.
Please make it sexual, please.